All right. Good morning, friends. Great to see you all as we continue to worship our Lord this morning. We are going to finish in a place of blessing. But we begin by confronting the dangers of a relapse into our old hurts, habits, and hang-ups. How many of you have a Thomas Kincaid portrait in your home? Many of you do. Gifts that are treasured, cherished, we offer them to one another, we joyfully receive them when they're given to us. Our art students have studied Thomas Kincaid and his work. His portraits are full of, there's a central light in the heart of each portrait that he offers, and they've been studied and envied. And Thomas Kincaid died in a broken place. An artistic genius. But he lived with an inner battle with the bottle. He was an alcoholic. He would stop drinking, and he'd be sober, and he would be fine for days and weeks and even months, and then he'd have a relapse. And he'd give in to his relapse and go deeper into his struggle. It cost him his marriage. One day, just a couple of years ago, he was found lifeless in his bed by his girlfriend. An autopsy revealed that he had died from an overdose of Valium and alcohol. The danger of a relapse. There's a pastor who last year had to resign in disgrace. He was a pastor of a megachurch in a country. 10,000 people were a part of the ministry entrusted to his care. Pastors don't have any stress at all, do they? He had a hard time sleeping at night. Tried a number of different things to help him sleep, and finally he thought, well, I'll just have one small drink every night. Well, it worked. It helped him sleep. And after a while, he began to say to himself, this is the pastor of an evangelical megachurch of 10,000 people every weekend. And after a while, he said, well, if one drink can help me sleep at night, I wonder if just another small drink would help me get through the stress of the day. Well, he gave in. And lost control. And he started drinking through the day and every day until finally the elders, the board of the church that loved him dearly, called him aside, sat him down and said, sir, you are done. And they walked him out. And he had to resign in shame and disgrace, and the church had to move on. He gave in to the relapse. What's the danger of a relapse? The men in the room, alone in the dark, who push away from their computer screen, filled with guilt and shame, having spent countless hours chasing pornography yet again, closing the computer, saying to themselves, I won't do this again. I'll stop. It ends here. And they're good and strong and solid for a while, and there's a relapse. And they give in. What's the danger of a relapse? Research shows, counselors tell us, that the men who hide their pornography in the dark, 90% of their sons will have the same battle. And now the research is saying it will not only be their sons, but their daughters as well. The dangers of a relapse, and we have the hope of a God of unfailing love who wants to set us free from the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we carry with us through life that we trip over. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that keep tripping us up, but our God of unfailing love invites us to come out of the dark and into the glory and the wonder and the hope of His unfailing love. He invites us gently and lovingly to bring our hurts, habits, and hang-ups into the light of His love. We have a hope that is ours in watching a God of unfailing love heal the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups that mess with our lives, that trip us up. So this weekend, we're nearing the end of our Celebrate Recovery series. I'm excited for next weekend's message. But this weekend, this hour, we're talking about how to maintain the recovery, the God who meets us where we are but doesn't leave us where he found us. How to maintain the progress of God's presence in our lives. Sometimes the road to recovery will feel like two steps forward, one step back, but yet we remain determined to keep moving towards Jesus. We ask the Spirit of God to help us not to fall back into these self-defeating patterns, to take up the old hurts, the old habits, the old hang-ups once again. That's called a relapse. Our human nature tends to repeat the patterns of the past. It's so easy to slip back into these old patterns. Relapses happen from a very predictable pattern. First, they can happen because of complacency in our story. Well, my hurts, habits, and hang-ups aren't as bad as they used to be. I don't need any more help. I don't need to go to the group anymore. I don't need to continue working these steps, these biblical principles. I don't need to touch base with my sponsor. And we become complacent like the frog in a kettle. Do you remember that story? A frog that's placed in a kettle of water. The water is slowly brought to a boil, and the frog doesn't even realize the danger it's in until it's too late. And that's our story when we become complacent. Relapses also happen in a very predictable pattern because of our confusion. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. I can handle it myself. And we become confused with our reality, and it's almost like the danger of hypothermia. The person caught out in the frozen environments, their body temperatures plummet while they have the sensation of warmth, and they lay down to fall asleep only to freeze to death. The predictable pattern of confusion that takes us back into a relapse. It's also a pattern of compromise. We go back to the place of temptation. We return to the risky situation that got us into trouble in the first place. It's like the gambler that goes back to Vegas and says, well, I'll just see the shows. And we start compromising. And then there's also the predictable pattern that takes us into a relapse of catastrophe. It happens when we give in to the old hurts, habits, and hang-ups that were tripping us up before, that God was in the process of setting us free from. The catastrophe isn't that we had a relapse, but that we gave in and gave up. Why is a relapse so dangerous? The alcoholic who goes back to drinking, the overeater who gains all the weight back and even more, the gambler who goes back to the casino, the workaholic fills up his schedule again, and our sons and daughters who carry on the curse that we long to set free. The danger of a relapse and the hope of a God who wants to set us free. Let me pray one more time as we come into the Word. Father, help us. Now we pray. No one here is immune. We all need your help. We all have these hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we keep stumbling and tripping over. So now, Lord, Spirit of God, speak into our hearts. Show us the path to Jesus, the path that can set us free, and help us, Lord, show us the guardrails, the safeguards that can keep us on the journey to Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So let's go to God's Word. What causes these relapses when we fall back into these old destructive and dangerous hurts, habits, and hang-ups? One, it's reverting to our willpower. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, the Word of God says, how foolish can we be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are we now trying to become perfect by our own human effort? We started off trusting God. Step one was the realization that we're powerless to change. Step two is that God has the power. Step three is I'm going to give it all to God. And then, having given it all to God, we start taking it back. We begin to say, I'm doing pretty good. I think I can do this. I think I've got this under control. And we fall into relapse until we realize we can't do it on our own. Try harder, do better, we'll fail every time. This is what the Lord says, Zechariah 4:6, not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What causes a relapse? Reverting to our willpower that takes away the power of God to do his will. What else causes a relapse? The Bible says ignoring one of these steps or biblical principles. Galatians 5:7, we were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Nobody but ourselves. We get in a hurry. We try and move through the steps, the principles, too quickly. We skip a difficult step or principle. And we forget we need to do all of the steps or they don't work. They don't build on each other. We don't have the progression of strength that God wants to provide. These are God's principles for life, and there's no quick fix. We didn't get into the mess overnight, and we don't get out of it overnight either. What causes a relapse when we ignore one of the steps of God's word, these biblical principles? What else causes a relapse? The word of God says when we try and do it alone without the support of one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two people are better off than one. Why? For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I don't need anybody else's help. I don't need church to be a Christian. I don't need to go to counseling. I don't need to celebrate recovery. I'll figure it out on my own. And we forget the great wisdom of the theologian Bill Withers. We all need somebody to lean on. Hebrews chapter 10, let's not neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We can do these steps of celebrate recovery. We can do these biblical principles on our own, and we can see short-term results, but we will not see long-term lasting change unless we do it together. It will work for a while, but it won't work for long, and we will see a relapse. It's like driving down the road at highway speed and taking your hands off the steering wheel. You won't immediately have an accident, but it is inevitable. Keep your hands off the wheel, and there will be trouble. We need each other. The promise of a God of unfailing love to meet us as we come together. What else will cause a relapse? The Bible says pride. Proverbs 16, pride goes before destruction, and arrogant self-importance before a fall. We're tempted to become overconfident. The Bible says we need to stay humble or we stumble. Pride, it blinds us to our own weaknesses. Pride, it keeps us from seeking help from others. Pride, it prevents us from forgiving others. It prevents us from receiving forgiveness from others. Maybe the biggest problem with pride is that it causes us to blame other people for what is our own fault and responsibility. The secret of lasting recovery is to live with humility before God and one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. It's a parable of life. Our greatest weakness is often an unguarded strength. Our greatest strength overplayed will every time become a weakness. I've got this under control. My marriage would never fall apart. I can say no whenever I want. I'd never get addicted to anything. What causes a relapse? Pride. Now, how do we prevent all of that from happening? How do we prevent the dangers of a relapse from happening in our hearts and our homes? The Bible says the key, the most important key in your life and mine to prevent the dangers of a relapse, here it is. Write it down. This is the take home for the message this morning. The greatest protection against a relapse of old hurts, habits, and hang-ups in your life and mine is to grow a life-changing relationship with God and one another. On the journey groups, the greatest protection in your life and mine against these old hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and the dangerous, destructive relapses is to grow a life-changing relationship and keep growing that relationship with God and each other. How does that happen? Let's talk about that. By the way, in Celebrate Recovery, they call this the maintenance step. It's the biblical principles that God provides to put guardrails on our journey, to provide safeguards to help us on the journey. Why is this important? Because our human nature is like water running down a mountain. It's our human nature to always seek the path of least resistance. And God knows. We need these guardrails, these safeguards, these biblical principles to help us and give us strength. Because it's human nature to go back to the old hurts, habits, and hang-ups, even though we know the mess it will put us in. It's human nature to let the old hurts, habits, and hang-ups back in, even though we know they will haunt us. So what are some of the tools, these biblical principles, these guardrails that God wants to provide? First, he says, reserve a daily time with me. A God of unfailing love says, carve out of your day a sacred moment when you'll get alone in my presence. Mark 14, Jesus said, keep watch and pray, so that you'll not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What we have to do is get alone with God every day and be graciously ruthless in asking God to give us a self-examination. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves, the word of God says. Lamentations 3, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Why should we ask our God of unfailing love to help us with this graciously ruthless self-examination? Well, we need to find the warning signs that God is trying to use to speak into our hearts. One of the warning signs is to be aware of what's happening in our physical bodies. What is your body telling you? You see, your body is a barometer of what's happening in your soul. Tense muscles, feeling some stress. Our body, it's like a warning light that maybe something is wrong. God uses pain to get our attention. So periodically, we need to stop and say, God, why am I feeling this pain physically? What's my body saying to me? Halt, hurting, angry, lonely, tired. Please, I encourage you to remember that. Halt, hurting, angry, lonely, tired. If your body, your emotions, if you're hurting, if you're angry, lonely, or tired, you are so vulnerable and the enemy is so near. Hurting, angry, lonely, tired. Learn to recognize the warning signs that God speaks into our lives, the clues that our body is providing. Another way we can ask the Spirit of a God of unfailing love to help us graciously, ruthlessly examine our lives is to consider our emotions. I was pretty good when Ellen and I first married, and she would say, what are you thinking? I could process that. I could give her what I hoped was a logical response. But she messed with my head when she started saying, what are you feeling? I didn't know how to respond to that. But it was one of the best things that she ever did when she kept asking, what are you feeling? I had to force myself to get in touch with those feelings. And I finally got to the point where I could say, God, what am I feeling? And then I could say, God, where did that come from? Why am I feeling this? How did that get started? One of the ways we ask our God of unfailing love to help us graciously, ruthlessly self-examine ourselves is to consider the emotions that we're feeling. Are they rational or irrational? How do we own them? How do we bring them to God and allow Him to heal them? We have to beware of pushing them back down. It's like shaking up a Coke bottle and not stopping shaking the Coke bottle. Eventually, there's going to be a mess.
hurting, angry, lonely, tired, halt. One of the other ways we ask God to help us with this self-examination is in our relationships, especially the most important relationships in our lives. Is there anyone you're struggling to find peace with? Not a stranger, not somebody across the building you hardly know. The most important relationships in our lives. Are there any relationships that are longing, lacking the peace that God wants to provide? Maybe so-and-so hurt you years ago, and now they live miles away, but so-and-so is still messing with your head. You can't let so-and-so out of your minds. And so-and-so, although it happened years ago and they're miles away, end up controlling your mind and heart. It's like letting so-and-so live rent-free in your mind. Is there anybody living rent-free in your mind and you should show them to the door? Forgiveness isn't forgetting, it is releasing. And then there's the spiritual element as well. Asking our God of unfailing love to help us examine ourselves spiritually. Have you been avoiding the Word of God? Have you been avoiding turning on praise music? Have you been avoiding times in prayer because you know there's something God wants to say and you're not willing to hear it? Sometimes we need to have a spiritual self-examination. Moment by moment, am I relying on God right now or am I doing this in my own strength? We can tell when we're relying on God, because we can celebrate the victories God brings us, no matter how small, and we confess the failures in the moment as they happen. When's the best time for this graciously ruthless self-examination? Spot checks are good. You're going through the day, you start to feel your blood pressure rising, anxiety, nervousness. You're easily discouraged and frustrated. Take a time out and say, God, why am I responding this way? He will answer those prayers. What is our body saying to us? What are our emotions saying? Am I trusting God right now, or am I doing this in my own strength or out of fear? Is there any relational conflict that I need to go and resolve? And our God of unfailing love invites us to deal with it immediately, because the longer we postpone a problem, the worse it becomes. That's why Jesus said, Roger, if you come to me in prayer and you're not at peace with someone, I think you should take a time out in your prayer and go to that person and find peace. And then let's come back and finish your prayer. A spot check, asking God to help us with this self-examination. It's sort of like taking out the garbage. Two simple steps to garbage. Rule number one, take it out before it stinks. Rule number two, under no circumstances ever bring it back into the house. Two rules to garbage. Number one, take it out before it stinks. Number two, under no circumstances bring it back in the door. That's what the Word of God is saying. And this graciously ruthless self-examination, allow God to show us the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are starting to stink up the house. Take it out, and then ask God to help us not to bring it back in. Another way of self-examination, a daily review. Find a time of the day that you protect as sacred to get alone with God. 10 minutes, some of you an hour. Find a quiet time every day to get alone with God so that you can hear His voice. The Word of God tells us that busyness is a danger to the soul. Busyness that gets in the way. Busyness that causes us. It attacks us in three ways. It's the enemy of the soul. It attacks us in noise, crowds, and hurry. And God wants us to set aside the busyness so that we can be alone in His presence and find joy listening to His voice. The Word of God calls us to meditate on His words of love and hope. Meditate, the word meditation has been stolen by the New Age movement, and we need to reclaim it, because David the psalmist said that we are to meditate on the words of love and hope of a God of unfailing love. To meditate on His word simply means to slow down long enough to hear God's voice. Busyness is the enemy of the soul. God longs for us to slow down long enough to hear his voice every day, a quiet time. Ellen and I set a very early alarm. We have coffee and breakfast together. Then we leave the table to get ready for the day. I get ready for the day a lot faster than she does. Somebody gave me a comb this morning. Thank you. I get ready for the day a lot quicker than my bride. So I say goodbye as she finishes getting ready for work, and I leave. I come into the office. If you drive by, the light will be on in my office between 6:30, 6:45. I've got my computer open to my journal. I've got my daily prayer list, and I've got this app, Read to the Bible in a Year, and I open it up, and I say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And I feel this eagerness building in my heart. God, I know you're going to show me something. You're going to teach me something. You're going to remind me of something. You're going to give me new hope and strength today as I come to your word. And last month, my journal was the longest it's ever been for the month. Find a daily time to get alone and push aside the busyness so that you can take the time to hear God's voice every day, a guardrail, a protection against the dangerous, destructive relapses. Lastly, another way to allow God to help us with a self-examination, it's called vacation. When you take your next vacation, take a little bit of time to get alone with God and say, God, how am I doing? Where did I do well last year? Where do I need to do better this year? God will answer those prayers. He will help us. He will give us strength. Take more time with God in conversational prayer. Prayer is the way we plug into God's power. God invites us to pray about any need in our lives, a financial need, a physical need, a relational need, an emotional need, a spiritual need. Surrender our willpower, and God will give us the power to do his will. As we finish this morning, in just a moment, we'll sing our final hymn. My friends, it's so important. We must beware of the dangers of a relapse. Complacency and confusion and compromise and catastrophe when we give in. We need to beware of the things that make us vulnerable to a relapse, reverting to willpower, ignoring the steps, the biblical principles that God is offering to us, trying to recover alone without the support of one another, or the pride that overcomes our heart. But now we need to share as we leave this place, this hour, this moment, the hope that we have as we look to our God of unfailing love to put these guardrails and safeguards into our lives. The most important key in your life and mine is to grow life-changing relationships with God and each other. It's on the journey. Reserving daily time with God, asking God to help us be graciously ruthless in our self-examination, meditating on his words of love and hope every day, spending more time with God in conversational prayer, and surrendering our willpower for his power to do his will. This morning, as we close our action steps, rule number one, take out the garbage before it stinks. Rule number two, don't let it back in. Is there any hurt habit or hang-up in your life that God is inviting you to wrap up and take out and leave out the door? Ask God for his help. Find a godly, trusted friend, a safe place and a safe moment, and say, God is asking me to take this out of my life. Would you and God help me to make sure I never bring it back in? Let me pray as the worship team comes back. Father, help us. You are a good and a gracious God. You love us so much. Your love is unchanging. Now we want to cherish the hope that is ours, that you will give us the strength that we long for and need. Help us to take it out, to leave it out, so that we can walk on this journey together to better look, live, and love like our Jesus. Amen.